Again, in sort of a non-protocol setting, what about the issue of induction chemotherapy followed by chemo radiation as opposed to chemo radiation straight out?
Right. So up until the last 2 or 3 years, that had fallen out of favor as not showing some particular substantial benefit. But several trials, and most notably a well-designed phase 3 trial led by Marshall Posner at Dana-Farber, have shown that a docetaxel-based induction regimen given prior to a radiation and relatively non-intense concurrent chemotherapy regimen is superior compared to radiation, this relatively non-intense concurrent regimen. So it really makes many people realize that there may be a role for induction therapy again. It should not be done instead of concurrent therapy, except for those patients where concurrent therapy is just not feasible. But clearly, Marshall's study does show that for a group of patients that he conducted a well-designed randomized trial, there was a benefit. What that trial doesn't tell us is, was that necessarily superior to a more intense day one chemo radiation regimen, as is in RTOG trials. But there is such a trial that's ongoing at this time, and we'll know the result in a few years.
Can you talk about that study?
So that's a study in which the docetaxel-based regimen is preceding a chemo radiation regimen as opposed to a full-dose platinum radiation regimen day one. So it's looking at a core of a chemo radiation regimen that's a little more the phase 3 standard out of both the European and the RTOG trials.
Has docetaxel been used as part of concurrent chemo radiation?
Yes, it has. And it appears there's been some very promising results with that. It can be given in a weekly schedule or on a Q3-week regimen. And either way, the complete response rates, the progression-free survival certainly look very reasonable.
Can you talk a little bit about the side effects and toxicity issues of induction therapy as well as chemo radiation therapy?
So with induction therapy, they are the same toxicities one might see with any full-dose Q3 taxane or platinum-based regimen, hematologic depression, stomatitis, risk of infection. Chemo radiation to head and neck may be one of the most challenging cancer therapies any patient goes through because in addition to the effects of the chemotherapy, you also have the enhancement of the radiation effect by the chemotherapy. So grade 3 mucositis is a very predictable side effect. Most patients who are getting substantial portions of their mucosa radiated really do need a PEG prior to the initiation of this. It's really not a situation where a feeding tube should be given only after a certain amount of weight loss. It really has to be considered a part of the approach. One of the concerns early on in the chemo radiation era was, would such intense regimens result in radiation treatment delays, which we know are deleterious to tumor control? And I think most people have learned that with the feeding tube and with outstanding supportive care, most patients can get through the radiation without substantial treatment interruptions. We find that sometimes giving a patient a 3-day weekend, which really doesn't extend the treatment time once or twice during a 7-week course, can really be a godsend for the patient and is not even considered a minor protocol violation if a patient happens to be enrolled on a trial.
What's the variation in how long these patients generally have their feeding tubes?
Most of them you really start looking at, you know, depending on whether there's a functional problem with swallowing that was tumor-related. But if it's all mucositis-related, you really can be thinking about getting it out at perhaps 3 months after therapy. But again, you really have to see the oral intake at an acceptable caloric intake before you do that. Many times physicians will keep the tube in to make sure that there remains enough swallowing. Many of my colleagues now are saying that to really be reasonably recovered from an intense chemo radiation regimen for stage 4 head and neck cancer, you're talking about a recovery that is perhaps 8 months or longer. Used to be that people would say, oh, your mucositis has gone away in 6 weeks. We really are seeing a much longer period of recovery. And I think one thing that's important for all oncologists is to really sit down and prepare the patient and the family for that. We don't want to scare them from taking effective therapy, but we want to understand that the management on the physician and the nursing part is not over at the end of therapy. It really can continue for months.